Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. You know that performance counts, so put your pension in the hands of our experts. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Is, of course, the countdown clock from the iconic Channel 4 show, where contestants are given a selection of vowels and consonants to come up with the longest word possible. It always makes me kind of anxious, I have to say. But are you a fan of Scrabble, Sudoku or Wordle? And what does that do for your brain health? I'm joined now by Sabina Brennan, author of Still Me, A Neuroscientist's Guide to Caring with someone for Someone with Dementia. Sabina, how often have people come up to you saying, I do the daily crossword, so, you know, I'm keeping my brain healthy?
Yeah, quite a lot. If I had a few bob for every time someone came up, I wouldn't need to be working, I think. I think there is kind of a myth out there that if you do crosswords, puzzle games, Wordle, that that is what you need to do to keep your brain healthy and to stave off dementia. Look, Wordle and those other kinds of word games are good for your brain in modest but very specific ways. Like, they are not a magic bullet for memory or for dementia. The best way to think about them would be as an ingredient in a generally brain-healthy lifestyle rather than a cognitive cure-all. So I think the risk is if people think that that's what you need to do, they think they're kind of doing enough, and that's not the case. The truth about them, to diss them completely, yeah, is that they do exercise the brain. So Wordle, for example, will exercise language areas of the brain, your attention, your working memory, because you've got to keep a few balls in the air while you're figuring out what to do, and also executive function, planning your strategy and what letters you'll choose, etc.
Can I ask you, if you're competing with somebody else to beat them at Wordle or Sudoku or whatever, does that give you more benefit?
Yeah, I mean, if you add in some of the other things that we know are good for your brain health, the bit of competition, challenge is really, really the thing that you need to think about when you're doing things. You know, it has to be something that challenges your brain, something that involves novelty or learning. So if you are doing a crossword, set a timer, you know, so that you have to do it more quickly, or, you know, decide to do a more difficult crossword, or the social aspect of it is very good, because we know social connection is very good for your brain health, and, you know, the kind of converse of that is loneliness and social isolation increase your risk for developing dementia. So adding those dimensions to it can help, and they have been linked with slower cognitive decline in older adults, but they don't prevent dementia and they don't make you into a genius either.
Okay, right, so I can't smugly say, okay, I'm doing my Sudoku or my crossword every day, so I'll be grand.
You won't be grand, but if you're having fun doing it and it's and it's something you enjoy, go for it. There's nothing wrong with it, you know.
Yeah, it helps, but it doesn't absolutely protect you. What should we be doing then? Like, what is the most dramatic, or what shows the most dramatic protective?
Well, what we know is basically that certain lifestyle factors, certain life choices can build resilience in your brain. I think it's important to understand how this concept works. So we don't have a cure for dementia. We don't know anything that we can say, do this and you'll never get dementia. But what we do know is that certain life choices and behaviors can actually build resilience in your brain through neuroplasticity, and that's called cognitive reserve. Because, and the reason this is important, in the early stages of Alzheimer's disease, if you do get the disease in your brain, the pathology, the plaques and tangles, in the early stages, it's not about how much disease you have in your brain, but how much healthy brain you have to cope with and compensate for that disease. So we can't prevent people from getting the disease. We can tell them what risk factors are associated with that, and I can come to that if we have time. But you can change the trajectory of the disease. So now we distinguish between Alzheimer's disease, so the pathology in your brain, the physical pathology, and Alzheimer's dementia, which are the symptoms that we associate with the disease. So memory loss, confusion, language issues, those kind of things. So we know that if you adopt a brain healthy lifestyle, even if you get the disease, you can push out the onset of symptoms and live longer in possession of your full faculty. So that's what's really important. Is what I'm going to tell people really is amazingly just about a healthy lifestyle, really, but it's why it impacts on your brain. So activity is key. Physical activity, social activity, and mental activity. So that's where you're learning new things and challenging your brain. But physical exercise is one of the best things you can do for your brain, because your brain depends on a healthy cardiovascular system to get the oxygen and nutrients that it needs to stay healthy. So they're kind of activity. Lifestyle would be things like... anything that's good for your heart is good for your brain. So okay. A healthy diet, Mediterranean diet, is your best option for your brain health. Maintaining a healthy weight, not overweight, definitely not underweight when you get older, because frailty is a risk. Okay. So it's a healthy weight. And sleep is absolutely critical.
Okay, I'll just go through that again. So exercise, healthy diet, healthy weight, sleep, and as well, what we talked about at the start,
yes,
challenging your
also,
brain.
Yes, and also managing stress is very critical, because stress, you know, actually changes the structure and function of your brain. Stress in itself is not bad for you, but poorly managed chronic stress can be damaging in the long term.
Okay, Sabina Brennan, author of Still Me, A Neuroscientist's Guide to Caring for Someone with Dementia. Many thanks for that. Really enlightening.